Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks. This week's topic takes us back to the long ago and faraway year of 2005.
Hey, this is an antique show.
It is. But in 2005, Etsy was launched.
Oh, it's gonna be one of these.
What is Etsy?
What is it?
According to Wikipedia, quote, Etsy is an e-commerce website focused on handmade or vintage items and supplies, as well as unique factory-manufactured items.
I'm going to stop you right there if we need to do a definitions check.
Unique mass-produced items, you know.
Etsy, can we talk?
These items fall under a wide range of categories, including jewelry, bags, clothing, home decor, and furniture, toys, art, as well as craft supplies and tools. All vintage items must be at least 20 years old. The site follows in the tradition of open craft fairs, giving sellers personal storefronts where they list their goods for a fee of 20 cents per item.
Like all craft fairs, of course.
Imagine having to pay for your Etsy shop front like you have to pay for a booth at a craft fair.
I would suplex Etsy.
Exactly. 20 cents per item is much more reasonable.
It's much fairer.
I also appreciate that all vintage items must be at least 20 years old, which is part of what makes it relevant to us.
Yes.
Fast forward to October 1st, 2009.
I'm there.
Regretsy is launched.
Yeah. Good times.
What is Regretsy?
A relic.
It's a blog. Its very first post is an Etsy listing for a pair of Converse sneakers, hand-painted with the Twilight characters Bella and Edward. Because it's 2009!
It's 2009, baby!
The asking price is $125.
Naturally.
The blog posted a screenshot of this listing and added the following commentary. Quote, I don't know what the freebies are that come with these hideous sneakers, but with any luck, there'll be change of address forms. Because as soon as someone in your neighborhood sees you wearing these things, you're on the list to get your emo weepy ass kicked every fucking day for the rest of your pathetic life. The blog is written by a mysterious entity known only as Helen Killer.
I don't know any of this.
Within 24 hours of this first post, Regretsy receives 1.3 million hits.
People have been waiting to slag on Etsy, huh?
On October 2nd, 2009, BuzzFeed reports on Regretsy, as does everyone else.
Lightning in a bottle, baby.
Gawker covers it. Gizmodo covers it. The Wall Street Journal covers it twice in 2 weeks.
We got nothing better to do here. Wall Street Journal.
Within 72 hours of Regretsy launching, it receives 96 million hits.
Holy shit.
I believe the kids these days refer to this phenomenon as going viral.
The kids these days? What are you talking about?
Listen, this is an antiques podcast.
That was an art gen thing.
I'm in character.
Oh, I'm sorry. Keep going, Gramps.
And because it's 2009, literary agencies start approaching Helen Killer with book offers.
Oh, God, yeah.
Remember when you could have a blog and then have a book deal immediately afterward?
Yeah, like a week later.
God. I say this as I'm staring at my own copy of Cut Movies in 15 Minutes by Cleo Linda Jones.
That one was uniquely fitted to the book format, I think.
It was, because, anyway, this isn't about the majesty of Cleo Linda Jones and her Movies in 15 Minutes blog series. This is about Regretsy. In November of 2009, Regretsy gets a book deal. Paper signed and everything. The marketing demands that the author reveal herself.
Oh no.
And as it turns out, the real Helen Killer is none other than April Winchell.
I don't know who that is. Is that scene in the Super Friends where Lex Luthor and the Flash switch bodies and he takes off his mask and he goes, I have no idea who this is.
That's actually in Justice League Unlimited, but I get your point.
Justice League Super Friends, all the same.
DC fans are breaking their phones on the ground in protest at this moment.
It's flu season.
Who is April Winchell?
Good question.
She is an actor, voice actor, writer, radio personality, commentator, and advertising wizard.
Well, now I feel foolish for not knowing who she is.
She's a Renaissance woman. She does it all. You may know her as the voice of Sylvia from Wander Over Yonder. Yep, that's her.
That's her?
That's her.
It was a good choice because that clicked immediately.
I figured. She was also one of the writers for the Roseanne TV show.
Oh, okay.
A particular audience might know her as the Glendale Federal Bank lady.
Yeah.
Which is a character she created for a series of highly successful radio commercials that she wrote and directed herself. Basically, a cranky, cynical customer is, like, soothed by the service at her new bank.
Okay.
She's also famous for that one time Bill O'Reilly got her banned for life from radio station KABC in LA.
Oh?
For spilling the secret of Croissant Gate.
I know, okay, but what is Croissant Gate?
Croissant Gate is Bill O'Reilly showing up to KABC and finding the croissants were not fresh enough for his taste and flipping out and demanding they go wake up a local baker to bake him fresh croissants.
Classic O'Reilly.
So Winch, I'll share the story on the air because how could you not?
Of course.
And then Bill O'Reilly was like, ban her! Ban her from the realm!
It's just not allowed. My croissant shame.
And then she went on to have, like, a wildly successful career everywhere else because, like, seriously. Because
I've never heard of that radio station before.
Exactly. You may also know her from her April Fool's Day 2009 appearance on Martha Stewart Living.
Oh. Oh.
Quote from Winchell herself. They called me out of the blue. They were doing an April Fool's show and wanted to fill the audience with women named April. They also wanted someone named April to play a joke on Martha. Someone in her office thought of me, so they called me up and asked if I'd do it. I was kind of terrified at first and told them I'd have to think about it. I knew it would be fun and a good opportunity, but I couldn't quite figure out what would be the right approach. I didn't want people at home to be uncomfortable watching it, and I didn't want to piss her off so badly that she lost her temper. In the end, I just decided to be a little too much of a fan. I figured someone overly enthusiastic would be her worst nightmare.
God.
She was a great sport about it, though I think she hated every second of it.
Okay. All right, real talk. The April thing didn't click until you, like, laid it out. Like, you said, like, oh, they had April on the show. And I was like, yeah, of course. And, like, even after you said for April Fool's, my brain was still like, yeah, okay, what's the rest of the story? And second of all, I love that Martha Stewart's one of those people where, like, professionally you have to be like, I cannot make her mad. She cannot be angry.
In conclusion, hashtag thanks, Martha.
Thanks, Martha. Please don't get mad.
Meanwhile, in the fall of 2009, April Winchell is regretsy.
Nice.
But how and why?
Well, because it's fun. I don't know how. Got the why.
From Etsy's launch in 2005, April has made a hobby of finding the absolute worst crafts and mailing them to her friends as a joke.
You know what? Yeah.
They begin mailing her other terrible Etsy creations in turn.
It's a good hobby.
Quote from Winchell. One fateful day, I came home to a missed delivery notice on my door from the postman. He had been trying to deliver a package from South Africa addressed to Miss Bunny Schlemmerkindman. An inside joke amongst the three of us. It was all very funny until I had to go down to the post office and try to claim it with no ID in that name. Postage due from South Africa with customs tax.
A well thought out prank.
On May 23rd of 2009, her friend Drew O'Brien, who had sent the package, apologizes for the hassle in an email. Quote, I'm sorry this has turned out to be such an ordeal. My regretsy. To which April replied, quote, regretsy, that is fucking hilarious. I am going to register that domain right now. And then she did.
This is a success story born of impulsivity.
And then she forgot about it until September 2009. When she was clearing out her email inbox and found the above exchange, remembered she had the domain, stockpiled 2 weeks worth of posts of terrible Etsy listings, and set the site to go live on October 1st, which brings us around full circle to Regretsy's viral launch. She had no idea the site would be so popular, but she'll be damned if she's not gonna run with it. On April 6, 2010, the book comes out. Regretsy. I just forgot the subtitle for the book.
It's a book.
Regretsy, the book. It features the rules of Regretsy. Quote, first, it has to be genuine. As with any comedy, the piece cannot be played for laughs. There has to be a sincerity to it, a lack of awareness that gives it charm. Second, it has to be asking for my derision in some way, because that's the mitigating factor that allows me to be an asshole. The piece can be overpriced, poorly made, or something no one but the artist will ever understand. Or it might be a completely ordinary piece, sick with love for itself, or as I call it, up its own ass. This results in labored exposition, long diatribes about inspiration, allusions to classical works, and detailed accounts of the emotional journey during the creation of the object, which is usually ugly as hell. Bonus points if any of this is in verse. She's our kind of gal.
Yeah.
The book features 8 categories of bizarre Etsy listings, jewelry and accessories, pet humiliation, toys and dolls, vulva craft, decor, art, WTF, and Christmas.
You know what? Yeah, let's just move on. I'm not going to revisit any of those categories.
Oh, but we are.
Well, yeah.
The vulva craft category, as you might guess, consists of various crafts featuring representations of vaginas or allusions to vaginas in some way or shape or form. These include decorative tampon holders or just decorative tampons with little red jewels to represent, I think you can fill in the blank. It also contains a reusable menstrual pad featuring a sexy buff vampire man with a description alluding to his eagerness to drink up your blood. D has the most beautiful and perfect 1,000-yard stare of disgust and horror I have ever seen in all my days.
Why would you? I don't understand. It hurts.
The decor section contains the piece Time to Great, which is...
I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it. I'm losing my mind.
From the listing description, this is an old grater I found at my thrift shop. It is covered with rust, scratches, dents, the handle is falling off, etc. I got off most of the old cheese. I did some grate surgery and attached a clock mechanism and hands. The true beauty is in the photo chosen to represent this item, which contains not only old metal cheese grater with 2 clock hands stapled to the front of it, but it is being displayed by being held by a middle-aged white woman with the clock in one hand, a cigarette in desperate need of ashing in the other hand, and an expression on her face that says very clearly, "Are you fucking done taking this picture yet?"
It's the perfect representation of an object named Time to Great. I'll level with you, 90% of the humor for me comes from the title.
Regretzi has retitled this entry, Half Past Crap.
No, it's not as good. It's not as good as Time to Great.
And added the description, she got off most of the old cheese, so that's good. It only smells a little like a bum's nutsack. Oh sure, it's not perfect, but you try cleaning a cheese grater with a cigarette.
I would have bought that straight up.
I know.
And I would burst into your home and hang it up in your kitchen and just yell Time to Great.
There's also an item that might be familiar to some of you who heard our decorative electricity episode.
Oh no. I don't like where this is going.
Original listing title, Large Mounted Bearded White Tiger Head with Swarovski Crystal Encrusted Features.
Ooh no.
It is the head of a white tiger stuffed animal that someone has decapitated and put... They've basically blinged the eyes and nose with white and pink crystals, respectively.
I'm gonna say that's art.
Dino.
That's art right there.
Regretzi retitled it Siegfried and Schadenfreude.
Okay, that's a good one.
But yeah, overall... The book feels pretty generic and toothless compared to the blog, which I'm gonna go ahead and blame on corporate editing. The most interesting parts, to me at least, are not the Etsy listings, but Winchell's opening and closing essays on why Regretzi exists and how people have reacted to it. On Regretzi's viral popularity, Dee called it, quote, Etsy has a very strict commenting policy and will shut down any thread that calls out a seller, meaning that sniping about other people's work isn't permitted. This climate of censorship had created a rising bubble of discontent. As usual, I was the prick.
Yep.
At first, Regretzi didn't link directly to Etsy listings, but policy changed when it became clear that 1, a quick Google could bring up the listing anyway, and 2, more traffic to said listings meant more sales besides, so it's really a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, because like I said, I would buy...
You would buy...
I would purchase...
a stuffed animal tiger head with crystals glued to the eyes and nose.
No. I would buy a mostly cheese-free cheese grater that had a clock glued to it.
Right. Sorry.
And it had been smoked on.
How could I have confused the two? As to Regretzi's effect on the Etsy marketplace, Winchell says, quote, "As of this writing, 2010, Regretzi has been indirectly responsible for the sale of hundreds of pieces and, by my calculations, has sent millions of hits to Etsy stores. Every day I get emails from people I've never featured asking why they have 10, 20, 50, even 100 referral visits from Etsy. I explain to them that when someone clicks over from Regretzi to see a featured piece, they frequently go shopping, which results in many stores getting new traffic and many sales that would have never happened otherwise. The idea that so much positive comes from something so negative is redeeming for me. The sales and positive experiences that sellers enjoy as a result of being featured on Regretzi reduce my asshole footprint."
Nice.
On the reactions Regretzi garners, she says, quote, "The people who impress me the most are the ones who run with it. For example, after I featured a beaded butterfly brooch that readers described as looking like it was hit by a car, the seller posted new photos showing the brooch under a tire and stuck to a windshield. The brooch sold immediately and she has a new legion of fans."
There you go.
Also rising to the occasion was the seller of the cheese grater clock, who identified his cigarette smoking model as yours truly and suggested we were in a romantic relationship. Still other sellers have joined the site as regular commenters, struck up partnerships with other featured sellers, and created Regretzi-inspired merchandise that is sold out quickly. One woman makes necklaces with miniature replicas of paintings featured on Regretzi, and at last count, she had sold close to 100, making them the most popular items in her store.
Wow.
Ironically, the people who are most vocal about hitting the site have never been featured. Their work is competent and unremarkable and not really anything I find comedy or wonder in, and maybe that's the whole problem. Etsy promotes a specific aesthetic on one end of the spectrum, and Regretzi promotes one on the other. But where is all the media attention and noise for the people in the middle? Well, there isn't any, because it's the middle. And the middle is boring as shit. It must all seem exactly backwards to these craft hobbits of Middle Earth who can't see why their perfectly pleasant work isn't being celebrated. It has to be galling to think that you're playing by the rules and getting no rewards while the idiots who make fetus-shaped catnip toys are riding the Regretzi wave to the Wall Street Journal and selling out their stores. One of these rules, and easily the most overrated, is being nice. There really is an almost pathological need to be supportive when it comes to crafts, no matter how shitty they are. I could feature a vest made of panty liners, and I guarantee you someone would feel compelled to say, "Boy, that sure looks absorbent." This kind of obsessive complimenting is particularly prevalent on Etsy, where even constructively criticizing another seller brings the cone of silence down and locks the thread. Ironically, many of these nice-aholics are crueler than I ever could be. I had a woman tell me she hoped I'd get cancer again because I made a joke about her hat.
Jesus.
Someone reported Regretzi to Facebook as a site that promotes hate speech. And a few people actually wrote to Random House begging them to cancel the book and never work with me again.
It's a lot of time out of your day.
Yeah. She ends the book with the following quote from the poet Arthur Chapin. "Sometimes, when people are uproariously laughing at you or staring at you in bewilderment, it's not because they're trying desperately to mask their fear of the painful truth you bring. It's just because you're a fucking idiot and completely unaware of it."
Nice.
The book also includes artist statements from all the sellers featured, and a quote from each giving their opinion on Regretzi. These opinions range from the sternly disapproving and disappointed, to the indifferent, such as Dark Vomit of the Vomitorium. Quote, "No one should feel obligated to be positive about my artwork. Not all of my artwork is positive."
That's a fair point. Okay.
Or Kathleen Paquette of My Crafts Are For You. Quote, "I couldn't help but wonder why Regretzi had chosen me. After giving the whole thing some very careful thought, I asked myself, could it possibly be because you're peddling alien dolls using walnuts for their heads?"
A moment of clarity is achieved.
And Kevin Stevens and Tori Carpenter of Fairy Furnishing said, "It's hard to be too serious about making fairy toilets." Or Eric Masters of Immotime, "Being featured on Regretzi is like a swine flu shot. Painful at first, but beneficial in the long run."
Wow, a swine flu reference that's dated.
I know, right?
That's 2009 for you.
Other sellers were delighted to be featured on Regretzi.
I know as I would be.
Such as Cappy Sue of Cappy Sue Creations. Quote, "I started screaming, I'm on Regretzi. My husband ran in to find me laughing, clapping, and jumping up and down. I love humor, especially dark humor, so being featured was like getting a wish for me. I had a steady increase in traffic and sales. Some people saw it as great free publicity for my shop, while others told me how embarrassed they would be if they were me. One friend, who was also featured on Regretzy, stopped speaking to me because I was not offended.
Wow.
And some sellers take a purely mercantile view of the situation. John Henderson of Roy Road Fish Company, quote, I was getting 60 to 70 hits per hat before the Regretzy listing. Now I average about 180 quick hits, then a sale. What's significant is that the YouTube video associated with it went from about 250 hits before Regretzy to over 52,000.
I'm with him.
Kim Joseph of Crafty is the New Black said, quote, I don't need people to understand me or the things I make. I just need them to have a PayPal account. Kathy Liebarger of Aardvark Art Glass said, if someone enjoys crafting for the hell of it, you'd have to be kind of an asshole to say something negative about their work. But once you put a price tag on your artistic expression, no one's obligated to keep their yap shut.
I'm with her, yeah.
Koi Powers of CR Powers Oddities Marvels and Curiosity Candles, quote, it's art while I'm making it, it's merchandise as soon as it's for sale. And finally, Michael Quinn of Glam Power Design said, it's important to remember that what you do isn't who you are. Once you start selling your work on the internet, it's open season, so it's imperative that you not take it or yourself too seriously. Otherwise, as my grandmother used to say, this can only end in tears.
That's good advice.
Which brings us to 2010 to 2013, the golden years, Regretzy at its height.
Oh, the golden years only for Regretzy.
During this time, we get up to 4 posts per day of crafty nonsense.
Shit.
Site categories include, but are not limited to, normal things like accessories, clothing, or decor, more specific categories like annoying descriptions, bad poetry, or club fuckery, or some of my personal favorites, compare and save, which are posts about mass-produced items listed as unique or handmade on Etsy, comparing the listings to retailers the Etsy sellers are most likely sourcing it from, such as Hobby Lobby or Walmart.
I remember those. Those are my favorites.
Some Etsy listings even use the exact same photographs as the site they brought the products from. Or the category copyright infringements, which is Etsy listings that infringe on someone else's copyright. Because this is 2010 through 2013, it's mostly Twilight.
Yeah.
Including a Twilight prom dress.
How?
Oh, you're gonna fucking love these screenshots. So it's a homemade prom dress. The right side of the dress is blue with snowflake decals and a larger-than-life-size portrait of Edward Cullen rimmed with blue lights. And the left side of the dress is red with a flame theme and a larger-than-life-size portrait of Jacob with red lights.
Of course!
Gonna show Dee the screenshots real quick.
Oh, literally lights.
Yeah, no, it's, again, calling back to decorative electricity with a chapter on fire risks. She has lit up her gown.
Whoa.
There's the Jacob side.
What? I was about to call it the best heat miser, cold miser cosplay I've ever seen. But
right?
And there's those guys in it.
We'll put these
up. Oh!
And also shoes to match, with one being red and flame themed and the other one white and ice themed. We will put these pictures up along with everything else on the Facebook page for Antiques Freaks.
Incredible.
It's a hoot and a fucking half. And we never would have known about it were it not for the glory of Regretzy. We also get the category Not Remotely Steampunk, also known as the best category.
I was gonna say, man, I've been looking forward to this one.
As alluded to in our steampunk episode, it inspired the song Just Glue Some Gears on It and Call It Steampunk. And as for an example listing, we have this teddy bear with cogs literally just glued on top of it.
Wow, a stunningly apt description. Oh, it's got some hair ties on its arm too there, I think.
And for this, Regretzy created a mock-up ebook of Winnie the Pooh's steampunk adventures. I don't know if you want to read.
Following the sput, sput, sput sound down to the great clearing in the 40-hectare wood. Oh bother, said the professor with much consternation. The infernal airship has come to rest in the honey tree. Whatever went wrong? Perhaps we should use more Kavorite, offered Commander Piglet, taking a pinch of snuff. Nonsense, said Lady Kanga, as she bound toward the stranded ship. Clearly Captain Roo has had too much laudanum. It's already a better steampunk novel than many of the others I've read.
Right? and that is titled Professor Winnius T. Pooh and the Infernal Airship. There are also categories for penises and vaginas.
Oh, good.
Two distinct categories, because one category called genitalia would be unwieldy.
Yeah, I could see that.
Just from the sheer breadth of items that fall into those categories.
That's sad.
There is also a category called self-gratification.
Mmm.
Which is for handcrafted masturbatory aids of all sorts.
Of course.
Like, for example, a handmade My Little Pony plush.
Oh, not that one.
With a special pocket under the tail.
Oh, not that one.
Oh, that one.
It's that one.
It's that one.
It's that one.
For more on that, check out our My Little Pony episode.
I'm a veteran of the Brony Wars. It saw some shit.
In a similar vein, there is the Someone Really Likes category, which is for Etsy listings that accidentally come out looking like someone has finished on them.
Oh.
Like, for example, cinnamon bun earrings with poorly thought out icing.
Oh.
The caption for these is always, someone really likes, insert subject of craft here. So for the cinnamon run, it would be, someone really likes cinnamon buns.
I'm guessing hot glue plays into this a lot.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's also the category whimsical fuckery, which I feel is self-explanatory.
Yeah.
The category butthurt, which is a curated collection of all the most amusing hate mail the site has received. The category sold, which is a list of all the Regretsy featured items that have since sold out. It is a very long list, just for the record.
Heartening.
And healing through tragicrafting, which is the second best category ever.
Oh, yeah.
The rules for this category are as follows. Quote, as you may know, one of our favorite topics around here is the feeding frenzy that kicks in on Etsy whenever something terrible happens. We call it tragicrafting, TM. But let's be clear about one thing. Tragicrafting, TM, is not fueled by the desire to make a buck off of tragedy. That would be so very cynical and wrong, and not at all chippy and muted and covered with mass-produced cabochons. No, this is all about healing. And here are some Etsy crafters getting their healing on right now. This text is followed by a roundup of terrible crafts based on 9/11 or Hurricane Sandy or whichever natural tragedy is big that week.
Oh, I was really gonna say, please tell me 9/11 factors into this.
Oh god, yes. One particularly compelling item in this category, I feel, is the Jumbo Peanut Butter Chip Dipped Cookies Hurricane Sandy Special. The original caption for this listing is, eat dessert first.
Oh, because you might die in a hurricane?
Regretsy amends this to eat dessert first, your house may be gone before dinner.
Oh, that's more gentle than what I said.
And goes on to say, quote, no better way to honor displaced storm victims living on emergency rations than with cookies, am I right? I can almost taste your suffering.
God. God, I thought the Princess Diana bear was bad.
Right. God. Speaking of tragedies, April Winchell and by extension Regretsy are also big into legit charities and fundraisers. And on April 17th, 2011, April's Army is born. It is one of the largest selling teams on Etsy. The shopfront runs monthly campaigns, during which all the profits gathered from the store go to a selected Regretsy member who has encountered hardships.
Aww.
On December 5th, 2011, Regretsy does a Secret Santa program, collecting donations for presents for needy children. They raise a lot of money very quickly, which is great.
Aww.
Right?
Yeah.
Which leads us into the PayPal incident.
Uh-oh. Nothing good happens with PayPal.
The sudden influx of Toys for Tots cash spooks PayPal.
Like a frightened horse.
So PayPal freezes the Regretsy account for a 6-month investigation, and I cannot physically make enough air quotes around the word investigation without both of my hands falling off.
They got freaked out because a business was doing too well?
Yeah. They also freeze Winchell's personal account for no reason.
Hmm.
Quote from Wikipedia. As this move effectively destroyed Christmas for 200 needy families, public outcry was massive, resulting in Regretsy becoming a worldwide trending topic on Twitter.
Okay.
Good job, PayPal!
Thanks, PayPal.
Winchell goes back and forth with PayPal, during which time she discovers and then publicly reveals that PayPal is completely unfamiliar with their own policy. PayPal realizes just how bad they fucked up and publicly apologizes. They restore both accounts and donate $20,000.
Wow.
Literally any freelancing artist can tell you that minus the public apology and restoration of funds, PayPal does this exact same thing every goddamn day, screwing over thousands of artists and turning a deaf ear to their cries of despair and outrage.
Oh yeah. In addition to trying to trick you into, like, selecting the wrong thing so they can freeze your account.
In conclusion, fuck PayPal.
Fuck PayPal. Don't freeze my account, please, PayPal. I need that.
We need money. Unfortunately, the good times could not last.
Aw, but I was enjoying the good times.
On February 1st, 2013, Regretzy closes.
Why?
Quote from Wired, the 1st of February was a sad day for a number of reasons. Not only did it mark the 10th anniversary of the Space Shuttle Columbia disaster, but it's also the day that Regretzy stopped publishing new material and became an archive.
Hey, can I have a fucking word with you, Wired?
Priorities!
It's a lot of coincidences because I have a Space Shuttle Columbia pin that I am planning on putting on Etsy.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
I remember that estate sale.
Yeah, the one that they made before it happened.
Did you find it or did I find it?
You found it. Yeah, and you were like, I'm not buying this because it's extremely cursed. And I was like, of course I'll buy it. I'm covered in ghosts 24/7.
No, because like, I remember like sifting through the box of pins and then picking it out and bringing it over to you to be like, is this the one that caught fire?
And it was.
It was the one that caught fire. So you will see that pin in our Etsy store shortly?
Yes.
Okay.
I won't make any japes about it, I promise.
Good. Oh my god.
I just thought that was like a really weird, like...
It is bizarre. It is a bizarre piece of grim history.
Yeah.
Also, very surreal to find that just like in a box of
pins. Just in a guy's stuff, like... Man, NASA thought that was something they'd be proud of.
But back to Regretzy. Why did Regretzy close?
I wanna know.
Winchell got busy with more voice acting work, such as being Sylvia in Wander Over Yonder.
It's a really good show.
She was also trying to turn her web series Sock Puppet Theater into a TV show.
Aw.
Also, she's just kind of done with Regretzy by this point.
Aw.
Quote, you would think that a joke and a photo wouldn't take that long to crap out, but this site was a time suck like you would not believe. There would be days when I would be on the couch with my laptop for 16 hours just exhausted and in tears. First, you have to find the stuff. Then you have to find great stuff. And that gets harder because the shock needle keeps moving. After a year or two, you're like, eh, another teddy bear with a vagina, who cares? Bad crafts are like drugs. You have to keep upping the dose to feel anything. After nearly 3.5 years, I've said everything I have to say about it, and now we're just bedazzling a dead horse.
I'd buy that.
Thank you. I know you would. By August 2013, the supposed archive starts redirecting to aprilwinchell.com.
Oh.
So we got 6 months of it being actually an archive.
Huh?
Thank God for archive.org's Wayback Machine.
Oh yeah, that's right.
For those of you not familiar with the Internet Wayback Machine, it is archive.org's effort to archive the internet. It is very useful, for example, for digging up Cassandra Clare's deleted fanfictions that she changed the names on and turned into her own very original book series.
Hit us up if you want a copy.
We have it. It's also how we have Master of the Universe by Snow Queen's Ice Dragon, which you may know as the fanfiction that had the names changed and became 50 Shades of Grey.
Hit us up if you want that.
We have the PDFs. We're willing to share. And it's also how we have the entirety of Regretzy backed up and available to view.
Wow.
I spent probably the best week of my life just reading through the archives to research this episode.
I actually, I haven't, like, been in touch with Regretzy, like old friends. And I was just, like, going to be like, but Ken, can I still read Regretzy?
You can! Thanks to archive.org, please donate, they're amazing. They're also where I get all of my Victorian research for free. Because they believe that public domain works should stay in the public domain.
They're right. They also helped me find embarrassing art from when I was 14. And then scrub it. Scrub it from the internet. Now you can only find it if you know where to look. And you don't.
Robots.txt.
How dare you? How dare you, my darkest secrets?
Which brings us up to today. The Regretzy domain still redirects to April Winchell's personal site. But the legacy of Regretzy lurches onward.
Lurches is a good word for it.
There is a subreddit, reddit.com/r/regretzy, which I feel like is the most appropriate new home of Regretzy. Because Reddit's entire thing is scraping content from other sites and laughing at it.
Yeah, that's about right.
It's not terribly active, but who knows, we could change that. There is also missingregretzy.tumblr.com, which is one of many Tumblr blogs that was started in the wake of Regretzy's closure, and then never really got off the ground. People seem to give up. They seem to realize how much work curating Regretzy actually is very soon after they try to start up imitation sites.
Making internet content's hard.
It is. We'd know.
You know, I said that without an ounce of self-reflection.
And, as we said earlier, all of Regretzi is backed up on archive.org's Wayback Machine.
And it's good stuff.
Check it out and donate. Any final words on Regretzi?
I just remember, my favorite thing about Regretzi is they, I think it was the, like, comparison category. They did, like, a lot of good work in pointing out people who were, like, shilling fake vintage stuff. Which, like, huge surprise to everyone listening is how I got into Regretzi. Is because I too was a wee thing getting angry at Etsy. Because people were selling things as vintage that very clearly weren't.
Like a vintage iPhone case.
Yeah, or like that goddamn octopus. You know the one.
The one we alluded to in our steampunk episode that inspired this episode.
Yes.
Where a single octopus pendant was marketed by no fewer than 8 sellers as unique.
And vintage.
And vintage. And then Regretzi collected all of these and posted them along with a link to the Hobby Lobby that everyone was buying it from. It was a work of beauty and it's up on our Facebook page.
It always held a very special place in my heart for that. And also just like, they had absolutely no patience for like racism, which was nice. Because, you know, Etsy has a problem with what I'm going to generously call native-inspired craft.
Oh,
it's a very generous term for it.
That overlaps with the not remotely steampunk category when it comes to the listing for a steampunk loincloth, which is literally someone broke apart their computer and glued parts at random to a shitty leather loincloth.
I'm pretty sure that one was like tagged with a bunch of slurs, too.
I mean, you know.
Like, I remember being particularly horrible.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Regretzi knew the meaning of punching up, and it was a really fun little oasis for my vintage-obsessed mind.
Yay. Sources for this episode include the book Regretzi, Where DIY Meets WTF by April Winchell. The wired.co.uk article, Regretzi Closes, The World Mourns the End of DIY Meets WTF by Olivia Solon. The Zulki.com article, The April Winchell Interview. Guess what that one is? It not only had great info on Regretzi, but also insight into both her Martha Stewart appearance and the Bill O'Reilly incident. And KnowYourMeme.com had a surprisingly thorough timeline.
Educate yourself at KnowYourMeme.com.
I unironically educated myself at KnowYourMeme.com.
Jesus Christ.
Right? And of course, April Winchell's Wikipedia article.
Donate to Wiki.
Donate to Wikipedia. I was shocked and a little bit angry that Regretzi does not have its own article. It's just a subset of hers.
Yeah, that seems kind of raw. There's a book and everything.
Yeah, whatever. Wiki editors, come at me.
Yeah, fight me.
I have ideas.
Behind the Denny's. We all know this.
Speaking of fighting D behind the Denny's.
Get the next best thing.
At our own Etsy shop. Etsy.com/shop/antiquesfreaks. We will have posters available from Attack Bear Press featuring an offer to fight D behind the Denny's in Fall River, a plea to your friends to stop eating lead, and don't paint with people.
Don't paint with people, yeah.
We also have a variety of vintage goods, shortly to include the aforementioned Challenger pin. And speaking of Etsy listings in poor taste, a Princess Diana Beanie Baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you may recognize from our Beanie Babies episode.
We're just bringing the poor taste on. Oh, embrace yourself, hat pins are coming.
Hat pins!
Yeah, I've got like a box of fucking stick pins.
Did we sell the animal traps?
No, they're still up.
We still have vintage animal traps. And also t-shirts and stickers with the podcast logo on them. So really, there's a little bit of everything available for you at Etsy.com/shop/antiquesfreaks.
Well said. We gotta cut that and like shop that around some other podcasts. Like, dang.
If you want to get in touch with us directly, you can email us antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. You can message us on Facebook at facebook.com/antiquesfreaks. And while you're there, you can join our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends, and discover probably the most beautiful Photoshop I have ever seen in my entire life based on our diamonds episode. It's a hoot and a half, and you really have to join it because it needs to be seen to be believed.
You gotta see it.
I'm going to print it out and frame it. It's beautiful.
100% I am going to as well.
Thank you to Charles for creating this work of art. And you can also preview new posters available from Attack Bear Press in the group as well. Which are all just absolutely just
chef kiss.
Chef kiss amazing. You can also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks for deleted scenes and to join the Random Vintage Postcard of the Month Club, where we send you a random vintage postcard every month.
Like clockwork.
Or perhaps even a calendar.
Time to grade.
And perhaps soon, bonus episodes, question mark?
Ooh.
More on that later. For now, we would like to thank our patrons for keeping the podcast lights on and paying our hosting fees and getting us ever closer to a second microphone.
God, we're there. We're so close.
We're so close. And thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.